all across America and around the world. This is Veterans Radio.
This is Veterans Radio.
And now, your host for today's program, Dale Thronberry.
And welcome to Veterans Radio. My name is Dale Thronberry. I was a CW-2 helicopter pilot in Vietnam, 1969. I want to welcome you to our program. We've got a lot of stuff going on today here on Veterans Radio. We're going to be talking with a gentleman who's started a new program where he's recording the stories of actually all of the fatalities, American fatalities from World War II, and it's called Stories Behind the Stars. Then we're going to be interviewing Keith King, who is with the National Veterans Business Development Council, one of our major sponsors, about what it actually means to be a veteran. How do you define veteran if you're trying to get a loan from the SBA or from the federal government or trying to do business with the government? And then later on in the program, we're going to be doing a live interview with Lexi Cassidy, and she is a Navy veteran who has started trying to put together a book about OIF and OEF veteran stories and artwork. So I'm really excited to have her on later on in the program. I want to make sure we thank our sponsors. Number one, of course, is Legal Help for Veterans. Number two is National Veterans Business Development Council. Number three is the Eisenhower Center here in Ann Arbor, Michigan, which is an inpatient and outpatient facility for people who have suffered from post-traumatic stress, traumatic brain injury, accidents, anything. Don't have to necessarily be in the military, but it's a great organization. And for more information on Eisenhower Center, go to their website, EisenhowerCenter.com. We also want to thank the Ann Arbor VA Medical Center, the Charles S. Kettles Medical Center here in Ann Arbor for their sponsorship. And if you'd like to become a sponsor here on Veterans Radio, you can go to our website, veteransradio.net/our sponsors. So without further ado, we're going to go into an interview that I had earlier in the week with Don Milne. And Don is the founder of Stories Behind the Stars of World War II. And I'll let him explain it as we get into it right now. Hey, we're back here on Veterans Radio right now, and I've got a guest for you that I'm really excited to talk to. There's a new program, or maybe it's not that new, but I just learned about it. It's called Stories Behind the Stars. And our guest today is the founder and national director of storiesbehindthestars.org, and that is Don Milne. So, Don, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Thanks, Dale. It's an honor to be able to meet with you today and introduce this project to your many listeners.
Well, as I mentioned, I'm really excited to talk to you about this project. How did you get started on it?
It's really not that old. We started in 2020, so in February we'll be starting our second year of working on this project. The genesis of that goes back to 2016. At that time, I was working in a banking job, and my kids were getting older, and I was looking for a pastime to spend some of my free time on, and I decided, because I'd recently got a membership to the Ancestry.com website, and I noticed there were lots of military records on there. And I've always been a history buff, military history, World War II, an area focus. So I said, I'm going to do something for the 75th anniversary from Pearl Harbor till the end of the war, which was in September of 2020, would have been the 70th anniversary of the end of the war. I'm going to write a story once a day about someone who didn't make it back from World War II. And I'm just going to choose their 100th birthday, what would have been their 100th birthday, to write about them. So that ended up being like more than 1,200 people. And I wanted to do this because as a history buff and reading lots of memoirs, the heroes that came home were always the first to tell you the real heroes were the ones that didn't make it. So I just did this on my lunch break. It was a pastime, and I do my research on the way to work and back on the bus. And so I just thought it was something very interesting to do. And I would just post them on a blog. And within a couple of years, I had like a million different views of people reading it. So there's obviously an audience for that. And then over time, I'd have people that are reading it contact me and say, can I write these stories too? So I started inviting more people. It wasn't just myself writing these stories on this blog. And I made an announcement once that we're getting ready to wrap up in about a year in September of 2020, because that'll be the 75th anniversary. And I started getting a lot of people contacting me saying, well, you can't end now. And that's, we like these stories, getting them every day. And I knew the math. I realized, well, it would take like 1,100 years doing one story a day to write about every American who didn't make it back from World War II. So one of my people who was writing these was saying, well, why don't we just invite more people to do it, and then we can do it. So we ended up starting this nonprofit initiative, Stories Behind the Stars. And now we just invite people from all walks of life. We have a lot of veterans, a lot of people who are descendants or related to people who served in World War II. Some of them didn't come home. Most of them did. And they just write these stories. We're not like super academic about the contents that we're doing. We're taking more of a journalistic approach, more of a obituary type style. So if you can write an obituary, you can write a story. We provide the training material and free access to research sites, so that if you want to give up a night of watching a Netflix show once a week, in a year, you could write 50 of these stories.
Well, I think it's amazing. I mean, I was surprised that I hadn't heard about it before, because it takes what we do here at Veterans Radio. We've been doing 18 years worth of trying to tell veteran stories, but we're only doing one a week.
Yeah.
And it's, we're really happy. Oh, we've done 900 stories, and you have been able to do thousands of them, which of course is again, just overusing the word amazing, the people that have been interested in this. And you have a podcast that goes out. Does that go out daily as well?
Our podcast, we were doing it once or twice a week when we started to kind of get the ball rolling. And now we're kind of into a once a week type mode. And our podcast focuses on two elements. First of all, we want to share some of these stories of the people that we're researching, but we also want to profile some of the volunteers who are doing the research, and they share tips on this is what they found is effective on how to do research. Because we do have some people with master's and doctorate degrees in genealogy or history, but the run-of-the-mill person that's helping us, they just want to write these stories to help remember our fallen heroes. So they don't have a background. A lot of them don't have, they don't know all the nomenclature from the military, especially back from World War II, but they just have a desire to want to help. So we've created a training program, free training program that people go through in about an hour. And then after they've done a few of these stories, then they get kind of into the groove of it. Because most people's stories, these people died in their late teens or early 20s for the most part. So they're not going to have an extensive history of what they're able to do, but we can find out where they were born, a little bit about their family growing up, what they were doing in their youth, what job they had before they joined the military. Then once we know they're in the military, we most of the time can identify the exact unit down to the company level that they were in. So then we find sites on the web that have details about that. And we can come up with like a 400-1,000 word obituary of that person's life in just a couple hours, on average 2 to 3 hours. So some of our writers like to spend more time, and that's fine. Some of them even go out and try to contact family members. It's just however you want to do it. It's kind of like when you leave a floral arrangement at a gravesite. There's not one specific way you need to have your floral arrangement look like. As long as is presented with love and respect, then that's what we're looking for. So we don't have like a certain type of way you have to write these stories, but we think most people can write an obituary. So we think we're in pretty good shape for the content of what's out there. And I think what attracts our writers to a large extent, and right now there's more than 1,500 people involved with this. What attracts them the most is, we're working on developing a smartphone app so that these stories are not just on a podcast or on a website or in some database you have to have a hard time searching. It seems like the best place to read these stories would be at the gravesite or at the memorial of these people. So if you were to go to Arlington National Cemetery or the USS Arizona and you see one of these names, the ideal way to do this is pull out your phone, and the story shows up on your phone. So that's kind of our goal. We've have some smartphones and smartphone apps in various stages of what we'd like to see. And we're hoping by Memorial Day of 2020 to have a really good one in place, because our project that we just launched, now that we've finished the names of all the Pearl Harbor fallen, is we're going to do all the 7,700 Americans who died in World War II that are buried at Arlington National Cemetery. And okay, it'll be so much more meaningful to be able to do that, to go to Arlington. And you see all these names row after row after row, and they're all showing from the World War II era. Every single one of them, people will be able to read their story.
I think that's great. We had a gentleman here in our local county here in Ann Arbor, Michigan, do a similar project, it sounded like, regarding the Vietnam casualties that were here. And so he was able to write about what they were like growing up, and he talked to relatives and so on and so forth. And then my wife and I kind of went off the grid, and we decided that we were going to find the grave sites of every one of those 76 veterans. And so now we've got this compendium that goes along with the book of their grave sites that we were able to find. We've only missed one because he was, it wasn't unfortunate. His ashes were spread in Lake Michigan, so that one we can't do. But I love this whole concept here. I was thinking, this isn't supposed to be about me, but my dad was on a an LST during the invasion of Okinawa, and it got hit by kamikaze, and about 15 guys on the ship were killed. And I think I'm gonna have to sign up for this. I think I'd love to find out more about those guys. And the you know, like your mission sounds very similar. Our mission is that's to record as many stories as we possibly can, because if we don't record the stories, then no one will ever know about these people.
Right. And, yeah, and that'd be great to have you do those stories for those Navy fallen. we save them in two locations. There's a website called Together We Served. Probably a lot of your veterans know about that website. It was originally kind of set up like a Facebook for people that had served in the military. And it's actually older than Facebook. But once Facebook came along, they're still around. But one of the things that they're focusing on is setting up remembrance pages, shadow boxes, and roll of honors for the fallen. And they have a pretty good content for the military from the Vietnam War era forward. But they haven't had as much concentration on World War II names and Korea. So we're helping them out there. And that's where we save our stories, and also Fold 3. So as long as someone is adding the content to those two locations, it'll end up showing up in the app that we're going to have, so that they'll work at any memorial or gravesite throughout the world, not just the United States, but throughout the world. So we do have people like your friend there that had done those stories. I just had someone contact me that has done like 1,800 Air Force stories. So those are already done, and he happened to have saved them on Together We Serve. So those will work already. So we have officially about 13,000 stories that we've done already. We keep running into people that have been doing this independently, and usually add those stories. Yeah. I'm sure we probably have at least double that, and probably maybe 40,000 stories at least that have been done from World War II. But we have a long way to go. There's, by one estimate, 421,000 World War II fallen, if you include the Merchant Marines.
That's amazing. So we're talking here with Don Milne. He's the founder and national director of StoriesBehindTheStars.org, which is collecting the stories of all of the soldiers, airmen, and everything from World War II who died during the conflict, and gathering all these stories together on their website and working with other websites. So, Don, if I were to want to do this, could you kind of walk me through a little story, if you can think of one, maybe that. Okay, I've got the name. Where do I go from here?
Sure. So the first thing people would do is they would visit our website, storiesbehindthestars.org, and there's a button that says volunteer. So if you press volunteer, you're not committing yourself, like you're drafted into the service for some four-year period or whatever. You're just saying, I want to learn more. So we'll send you information about on our training platform that shows this is how you research a story. So if you're to go through that process, and you go through that like hour of some videos and some forms that you see to be able to learn what's involved, then we'd probably send you a name. At this point, we'd probably send you a name from the Arlington National Cemetery, someone who's buried there. And we have a checklist showing this is where you want to find the basic information that you want to include in this story. So, for instance, if we're starting with his early life and family members, we'll tell you the place to look for that would be like on census records. So you'd go to the census records and find that. And if you go to a site like Ancestry.com or MyHeritage.com, there's often links to not only census records, but maybe there's a high school yearbook that someone uploaded, so you know what high school he went to. Another resource we use is newspapers.com, and we can also get people free access to that through our project. And if you type that person's name in and put in the years like 1940 to 1950, you'll probably find if he was in a you will find if he was in a newspaper article information about his life. And sometimes you'll find information about his death. If he was noted for something before, maybe he was a football player, you could find information about what he did with that. So that's a good source to find things. So that kind of gives you a general background of details. And notice that you're looking at different sites to find that. Ancestry, newspapers. One of the things our volunteers usually find during the research is a form that was filled out by the family after the war called a request for headstone or marker. And that information would tell you what unit they were in. So if this person was in the 506th Parachute Infantry Regiment, and if they were in Company E, then you can Google Company E Parachute, 506th Parachute Infantry Regiment, and you'll find some resources, sometimes even mission reports, daily mission reports. And then you know what that person was doing while they were in the service, maybe even down to their final mission. Especially if it's an Air Force name, there's very many websites that you can find their final mission report that gives details on what they were doing there. So the information's already out there. It's on the web in most cases. It's just spread out. So our right. researchers and writers are just taking 2 to 3 hours to find this information and compile it into a obituary style story. And as I said, it's usually 400 to 1,000 words. It's really fascinating. A lot of our writers, when they start, they're saying, I can do one story a week. You know, I'll give up my favorite Netflix story or my guilty pleasure Netflix story that maybe I shouldn't have watched because there's better things to do with my time. But we do have to warn people that a lot of people start deciding I'm going to do one story a week, and then they end up doing many more than one story a week because it's so addicting and it's so uplifting and it's so engaging to start with basically a name that you don't know anything about. And if you were to just Google search that name online, the first thing that pops up isn't going to be much of anything. But by piecing together from 4 or 5 different sources, you can come up with the story about someone who made a difference for our country because they accepted the call to serve in World War II, and they were there when they needed to be, and they lost their lives either through some historic or valiant choice on their part, or sometimes it was just in an accident, but they were still willing to serve. And because they were able to make that sacrifice, it really helped contribute that the war was won in the way it was. A lot of historians will say, well, the Germans probably would have lost the Soviets anyway, even if the Americans hadn't come into play. But just think of what kind of world that would have been.
Yeah, one can only imagine. And
if we hadn't got involved in the Pacific, I don't know how many of the countries that Japan would have conquered would have enjoyed living under those circumstances. So it was a great thing that America was able to help contribute to the victory of World War II and the world that we've lived in for the last 80 years. You may be aware, because it's been the news lately, that one of the last officers from the Band of Brothers was laid to rest in the last little while. And so he got to live an extra 80 years past the end of the war. And there were a number of men from his unit that didn't. One that I'm familiar with, because it was one of the names we researched for the D-Day project, was a man by the name of John D. Halls. A lot of people that have watched the Band of Brothers miniseries will remember the attack on Braycore Manor, and that was the mission where they took out those assault guns so they couldn't be used to fire on our troops on Utah Beach. And, you know, you see some people being killed in that episode, but, you know, they don't make the credits, right? Because they got killed. But the people that were fighting to make that mission successful probably made it possible for those other men who did survive to get through that battle and other battles past that. So John D. Halls happens to be one of those individuals who died in that battle. And now his story is available. So anyone that visits his gravesite or any memorial that has his name on it, they can read his story, and everyone else who served in World War II by the time we're done. Our goal is, it's ambitious, but if we get enough people, we want to be done by the 80th anniversary of the end of World War II. So that's September 2nd of 2025. And we do the math, and if we get like 2,000 people writing one story a week, we can get that done in that time frame.
I think this is a very worthwhile assignment. I was thinking as you were talking, so if I sign up to be a contributor to the project, do I have to have my own membership for Ancestry and newspaper.com and the other ones, or is that somehow linked through you?
If you already have one, you may want to just keep it because you have it, and it does allow for a little more personalization of the experience of using that and saving things. But you don't need to. If you were to start from scratch to get access to Ancestry newspapers and Premium Fold 3, it'd cost like $400 a year. But Ancestry is one of our supporters, and so they've actually designated Stories Behind the Stars as an institutional account. So we're kind of like a library. You can go to a library and get access to places like the New York Times and other things that are usually behind a paywall because you're in a library setting.
Right.
So they've set us up as a kind of a virtual library from anywhere in the world. And we have a VPN that we can assign out to users. And so once you've used the VPN, then you can get into our institutional library version of Ancestry and Fold 3 and newspapers and use that to do your research.
Okay.
A lot of people end up getting their own version because it is kind of like the going to the library, which so it's a little bit more inconvenient. But if you need to do it and want to save the $400 because you don't want to have it used for other more specifically related to your own family, then it's free. So I
like that concept.
That's great.
Yeah, it's and those types of things are kind of addictive as well, because
right.
once you start finding out that your father was related to this guy over here who was related to this woman over here who was really, and you find yourself going, getting back into the 1600s somehow.
Yeah.
One of the other things I did, that I have found is that a lot of these units you mentioned have their own websites these days.
Right.
My dad's LST actually had his own website where I found a whole lot of information. Of course, my father didn't tell me anything about what he had done in World War II, but I had found pictures I'd never seen before and stories and after action reports and so forth. So it was really fascinating to me personally. But I think you could get yourself probably 2,000 or more volunteers, it sounds like. I know that even near your website on my phone is very useful, very helpful. You have podcasts on there. You've got stories written there and how to get involved and so forth. The organization is storiesbehindthestars.org. I want to make sure that everybody pays attention to this. I think it's a great, great way that we can preserve our history. And if people like you, and your organization, don't do it, I don't want these people to just disappear. It's bad enough sometimes when we go to a cemetery and we have to, scrape away the dirt and stuff away from somebody's tombstone.
Right.
And we go, oh, look, this guy was in the guy has a plaque on the back of the headstone that, he was in World War II. And you're going, oh, I wonder what he did. What happened?
Yeah.
And that's what, drives me. And it sounds like that's what drives you. I want to know more about
exactly.
These people.
Yeah, we're living in the 21st century, not the 19th century. So you should expect to have a smartphone digital experience in cemeteries like museums or anywhere else you go. It shouldn't be Yeah, it's going like the, back in time.
It's like you're taking find the grave, and but you're adding the commentary that goes with it.
Yeah. And you mentioned Find a Grave. So Find a Grave is one of our partners because they're an ancestry organization. And so the stories that we're saving on Fold 3 are actually linked onto Find a Grave. So you open your Find a Grave app while you're in that cemetery and you type in the name of the person you're searching for. You scroll down on Find a Grave, it'll link to the Fold 3 story. So that's already something that's available. We're trying to make it more user-friendly because people like the point-and-click aspect of a smartphone. We want it so that you're in the cemetery and just the geocode will prompt you to say, we notice that you're next to this grave. Would you like to see the story? Or another type of smartphone app that we're hoping to develop would be, you've got your smartphone, you just use your camera to scan the name and it pulls up your story. So those are both possible features. We just don't have them yet, but it's super possible right now to either use the Find a Grave app or our other partner, Together We Served, has a smartphone app. Either one of those, once you get into those, you can type in a name and see if it's there. It's just right now you're going to be probably disappointed more often than not because we've got 13,000 names done and 408,000 names that aren't done.
Right.
So, but over time, that's our goal. And we really hope that by September 2nd of 2025, every single World War II name of someone who served in the armed services, their story can be found at any gravesite or memorial.
I think that's great, Don. I think it's just a magnificent project that you are working on. And I want to thank you so very much for being on Veterans Radio and telling us this story. So if I want my audience to get involved, where do they go?
They just go to storiesbehindthestars.org and our volunteer button's right there. And we have people volunteer for a while and then they drop off. There's no commitment to needing to do so many stories. A lot of people just want to do the story of maybe one or two family members that they're related to. And that's good. That's great because they're the ones that know their stories the best. So that's wonderful. Of course, we always appreciate those that are able to support us by writing one story a week and more if possible. We know some people just feel, I just don't have the skills to write stories. So we do accept donations that keep our project going and covering our overhead so that we can make it possible so that this is something that we can do for years and years.
I think it's great. I want to thank Don Milton. All right, we'll be right back here on Veterans Radio with our next little story. Okay, we're back. Hey, what about that? That was pretty exciting, I thought. Don Milton with Stories Behind the Stars. .org. You can get out there. You can become a published author. How about that? Speaking of authors, we've got another story coming up in just a little while where we're going to be talking about a young woman who is gathering stories on this generation of veterans. So we're excited to do that. Right now, I'm going to go to an interview that my partner Jim Falsone did with Keith King. And Keith is he's the CEO and founder of the National Veterans Business Development Council. And what they're going to be discussing is what is the definition of a veteran as far as some of these government agencies are concerned, because the DOD has one, the VA has a definition, the SBA has a definition, and they're all a little different. So here's Jim with Keith King.
Welcome. I'm Jim Fossone, and this is Veterans Radio's Spotlight on National Veteran Business Development Council. NVBDC.org has a partnership with Veterans Radio America to spotlight the organization and its certified entities. National Veterans Business Development Council is the nation's leading third-party authority for certification of veteran-owned businesses of all sizes. NVBDC is a 501c3 nonprofit and was established in 2013. It addresses the growing need to identify and certify both business service-disabled veteran-owned businesses in the government and commercial marketplace. NVBDC administers a rigorous certification process designed to withstand the scrutiny of governmental and corporate entities seeking to utilize certified SDNVOBS entities. We want to welcome to Veterans Radio today the founder and president of NVBDC, Keith King. Keith, welcome back to Veterans Radio.
Well, thank you, Jim. I would like to at least correct the title. I've been kicked up to the CEO, and as well as the founder and CEO, and Brigadier General Dick Miller has been promoted to president. So, you know, we continue to grow and share responsibilities, and I want to make sure that I identify General Miller as the president of our organization. He's doing an outstanding job. I'm very proud of have him as part of our officer team.
Well, that's fantastic, and it's a great executive group that you have. And let me tell our listeners that Keith is a Vietnam-era Army veteran. He's a public relations industry leader for many years after service. Not only is he the founder and CEO of NVBDC, but his efforts have been recognized from all kinds of organizations. And he was in the initial class of inductees to the Michigan Hall of Honor. That's the Michigan Military and Veterans Hall of Honor last year. So we've had a chance to talk to Keith before on Veterans Radio about his background, and folks can find more by checking for that prior interview. But we have you on today, Keith, to talk about, geez, what might seem like a simple issue but isn't, and that is, what exactly is a veteran when you're doing the certification process?
Well, you know, Jim, one of the things that I always talk about is when people say, well, what do you do for certification? I simply say the first thing I do is prove that you're a veteran. And of course, you know, we get some strange looks and it's like, well, what do you mean by that? And unfortunately, many people, both civilians and frankly, many of our veterans, really do not know the laws or the codes. They do not really understand the definition that is used to, in fact, establish the term veteran. And the issue became something of a much larger discussion that we had really did not anticipate originally, which was what happens when people think they're a veteran or claim to be a veteran-owned business, and we go in and pull their military records and look at it and come back and say, I'm sorry, but you're not really a veteran, or you do not meet our standards of what is a veteran. And the confusion and the easiest point of beginning a conversation is the difference between the laws, if you will, what we both know is the CFR, which is the Code of Federal Regulations, but those address rules and regulations, or what is called the United States Code, or USC, which is actually the laws, the permanent laws of the United States. And I kind of joke about, we all know the old saying about, you know, what rules are made for. So there is a difference between rules and laws, obviously. But the big difference is between what the Department of Defense has said is a veteran, or what qualifies as a veteran, versus the benefits that the VA will give to a person who, again, may have served in the military. And that distinction gets lost, or very confusing, very quickly.
Well, in typical government confusion, we have DOD's definition, you have VA's definition, SBA has kind of a different definition. And then you get to states and cities and counties, and they all have different definitions.
Yes.
This is really what NVBDC is trying to do, which is go through a rigorous process so that the corporate America really knows, hey, I'm dealing with a certified, honest-to-goodness, veteran-owned business, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's exactly what it is. One of the things that came up, and for those, you know, who are listening and believe that they are veterans, you know, obviously we do everything. My job is to make sure, like I said, my first job, the first thing I do is prove you're a vet. But I have a story that is really kind of a impetus for what has happened with our organization in corporate America, because we, what we call onboarding, when we're bringing on a new corporate member, we ask them to go in and identify any business in their supply chain, any supplier to them that has identified themselves as a veteran, certified or not. We just want to know, you know, who's claiming to be a veteran, and then work with us, and we will go in and through our records and see who matches up. And you know, there's a whole process after that to actually begin the certification. But what happened is in an example that I just gave you. One of our corporations sent me a gentleman's name and contact information and said, please certify him. He, you know, he's one of our, you know, best suppliers. We all love him and he's a vet, blah, 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 blah. And so we started in on the certification. Well, the problem was, is this gentleman had served 2 weeks in basic training and was discharged unfit for military service. Now, in his documentation, he actually received what was called a DD-256, which basically is Department of Defense certificate that says, yes, you were in the military, but generally, no, you do not meet the standards of DOD to be called a veteran. And what happens in that, and we see them quite frequently, by the way, said, hey, because I have a 256, it does allow me to petition the government to get a DD-214 because I'd like to use that, and that's the generally accepted form for claiming you're a veteran and or for benefits. And the government issued a DD-214. Well, under the statutes that we use, under the regulations that we use to say this is our determination of what is a veteran, he did not meet those standards, I mean, simply. And frankly, it would be very hard-pressed for anyone under any rule or regulation to argue the fact that somebody spent 2 weeks in basic training, discharged unfit, is a veteran.
Right. And we see this at as well, Keith. This pops up all the time. But let's make it clear to people that NVBDC is not using its own definition of what a veteran is. It's using 38 USC 4211.
Yes.
And it's that standard of what a veteran is that you're using for certification. So why don't you tell people what that standard is?
Well, what that does and what it is, and frankly, you know, you mentioned some of my background and, you know, in the sense of working at with the Michigan Veterans Trust Fund as a board of trustees, chairman of the board, you know, we only handled appeals. So I adjudicated thousands of claims in regards to veteran statuses and qualifications. So the Title 38, Section 48211, has some pretty clean and really clear definition in the sense of it says you must have served a minimum of 180 days on active duty, or one day, what we call one day in a combat zone or in an area where a campaign medal was issued, which is a relatively newer law, which they passed really in 2016, implemented really in 17, was 20 years in the National Guard and retired honorably, Guard or Reserve, frankly. And that's a relatively new law. So what we did is we simply said, look, you know, what our status, I mean, there's other, you know, minor minutia, but the big picture rule of thumb is 180 days of consecutive duty, on active duty, by the way, or one day in a combat zone or 20 years retired. But here's the issue. What we know, and you mentioned, you know, I'm a Vietnam vet. In my day, the guys who joined the Guard or the Reserve were activated for 168 days, 173 days. I mean, I've seen it, you know, right up to 179 days and then deactivated. Because what they knew, and what the law was at 180 days, they didn't qualify for benefits. And they did not want the guys serving during that time period to earn those benefits. And we've seen horror story after horror story of doing just exactly that to the Guard and to the Reserves. But we also see it in the sense of people who have gone in to training, even active duty training, but that training does not count as actual active duty. So what happens here is that we say, hey, wait a minute. We have these rules. They're very specific. We actually supply them to the veterans. We actually make it aware, frankly, to our corporate members. And here, I think, Jim, is really the most important part of this for me anyways and for our vets. No one, I mean, absolutely no one has ever said to me, you know what, Keith, if you have a person who meets Title 38 code, you know, or Section 4211 standards, if you meet those standards, there's no question that that person's a veteran.
Okay, we are back here on Veterans Radio. That was Keith King from the National Veterans Business Development Council with my partner Jim Fasson with the definition of what a veteran actually is. And I want to thank Keith for doing that. Just a quick reminder is that next week, of course, is Christmas, and we want to make sure that from Veterans Radio, we wish you a very, very Merry Christmas and a happy holiday season. We will have a recorded program next week about the USO, one that we did a number of years ago. We've got a little Bob Hope there and a little, you know, some other singers and programs and so forth that will be there. So we're hoping that you will tune in next week for that program. Also, if you're looking for a quick gift for your favorite veteran, you can go to Veterans Radio's exchange store, and you can pick up sweatshirts and t-shirts and cups and so forth. And if you mention the code VRA, Veterans Radio America 25, you'll get a 25% discount off of our post-exchange that's on our website, veteransradio.net. All right, so we've heard about stories from World War II. We've heard about what it is to be a real veteran. And now I want to introduce you to a real veteran. And her name is Alexis Cassidy, and she has got a project going where she is collecting stories, artwork, everything she can from this generation of veterans. So I'm going to call her Lexi from here on out. Lexi, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Sorry, I had a hard time unmuting. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, thank you very much for coming on to the program. I was really interested when I got your email about this, that your project is called, that your call, the Your Call Project. Where did that come from?
So the book that I'm putting together is called Your Call is Very Important to Us. And it's a joke within the veteran community about when you call the VA needing help, and they say that to you, and then they put you on hold, sometimes for 2 hours or more. So the title of my book is that, and it's making fun of the VA.
I think everybody that's a veteran out there can relate to that particular message. Somehow you just end up out there in some sort of ether space. I don't know where it is. But tell me, what was the idea behind this? How did you decide that you wanted to try and gather these stories?
Well, that's kind of multifaceted. So the reason that I began this project was because I trained jiu-jitsu at Combat Base McKinney here in McKinney, Texas. And my professor is a black belt, Alan Shabaro. He was a Green Beret. And he started a foundation called WeDefy, and they give combat disabled vets scholarships for jiu-jitsu to train for a year. And there is studies that show that training jiu-jitsu actually helps you heal from post-traumatic stress. And he actually came up with jiu-jitsu for if you're missing limbs, you can still do jiu-jitsu. So I don't have money to give to the foundation, but I want to help somehow. So I decided to get this book published, and all the proceeds are going to the WeDefy Foundation.
Okay, so Lexi is a Navy veteran, and so her stories, have you been writing stories all along or doing artwork yourself? I know that there are many organizations that are out there that feel that writing and just painting and any sort of artwork is helpful as far as therapy is concerned for post-traumatic stress.
And that's sort of the flip side of the title, is that it's your call to get better. So there's so many places out there that will help you and give you a hand up, but you have to make the call and you have to take a step and sign up for that scholarship or take a writing class. And I've been writing since about the fourth grade, and I'm also an artist. So I use writing and art to heal from my own post-traumatic stress. And I have been for a long time.
Well, I can understand that you know, so many of us have needed some sort of outlet to deal with our post-traumatic stress, and therefore I'm doing a radio program. I didn't realize at the time. I thought, gee, what a great idea. It's turned out to be the most cathartic thing I've ever done. So I understand that you have a relationship with a publisher. Can you tell me a little bit about the Three Ravens? I've heard of them before.
Yes. So my publisher is Three Ravens Publishing, and he goes by Hillbilly. That's his call sign. So I got the idea for this book. So I'm collecting OEF, OIF veterans, poems, short stories, and artwork. And I'm going to put together an anthology of those works to kind of take our generation of veterans off hold and put them on loudspeaker and get their stories out there, and also help support veteran authors and artists who are trying to do commission work and sell their books. That's going to be another piece of this book. So I put a call out on Roll Call on Facebook, and it's a private veteran group. And Three Ravens Publishing reached out to me and said, "Do you have somebody to publish this book? I like the idea." And I told him, "I haven't thought that far ahead. I'm just asking for the submissions right now." And he said, "Well, I'll publish you." So he's been wonderful working with me as I collect these stories.
I think that's great. I'm so excited for you and the whole idea of putting this book together. Have you gotten a good response so far?
Oh, I have so many responses, I can hardly keep up with my submissions. So I have about 30 submissions right now. I have two Green Berets. I have a Master Chief Navy SEAL. I have the Grunt Style brand. The first sergeant from them sent me a bedtime story. I have the social media publisher from Black Rifle Coffee sent me a war poem. And then I have a bunch of veterans that basically I'm just finding them on social media that are not as well known, but they have stories to write. And so you don't have to be a kind of well-known veteran or have a Medal of Honor story to be in the book. Everybody's story is important.
No, I think that is really important. I know that some of the projects we've gotten involved in through Veterans Radio have been, you know, just the ordinary people that served. I mean, you don't have to be a hero, quote unquote, hero to have a story to tell. And, you know, you think about whether it's in the barracks or it's on the battlefield or it's on an aircraft carrier or it's in a chaplain's corps even, that you have amazing stories that are just, some of them are so emotional that I have read in the past that I can hardly wait to see how this book turns out.
One of my favorite Navy heroes is Dory Miller, and he was a mess cook. So everybody's story needs to be told. And we all have funny stories from our time in. Even you don't have to have been on a deployment to be in the book. My publisher is an Air Force veteran, and he's an author as well. So he's writing a fiction story for the book. I really believe that a lot of the authors who changed the world were veterans, C.S. Lewis and Kurt Vonnegut, J.R.R. Tolkien, and the way that they processed their post-traumatic stress from World War II was through writing these epic fantasy pieces that if you didn't know about post-traumatic stress, you wouldn't realize that they were ever in. So I would like to find those authors and those artists from our era and make them help them to be found and get their stories out. So
I think that's really important. So if I had a story that I wanted to get to you, how would I go about doing that?
I'm taking all the submissions through my email, and that's just my name, alexis.cassidy@gmail.com. And I also have been, if you can't send me an email, you can send me an Instagram message @Cassidy. A Facebook message is just my name, Alexis Cassidy. And then we do have a website as well. It's the yourcallproject.godaddysites.com.
Okay. And could you spell Cassidy for our audience? Because it's a little bit different than Hopalong.
Cassidy.
Okay. Cassidy. Right.
Correct.
Okay. And, there was another organization that was connected with you. Wait a second, I got to find my notes here. I always get all confused because I get excited. Okay, your call is very important to us. That is available off of, actually, that was off of the Raven, the Three Raven publishing site. Is that there's more information on that site. And that's also on the We Defy Foundation, evidently has a link to your stories as well.
Yes, so there's so many people that are in on this project and love the idea. So, yeah, We Defy, Three Ravens Publishing, and then Noble Instinct is my other partner. And he is a soldier, Eric Sanders. He owns the Noble Instinct organization, and they help veterans to do art projects, and he helps them heal from post-traumatic stress through art. And then he helps them to sell their art, actually, so that they can have that sense of accomplishment and know that their work is worth something and it's valuable.
I think that's great. What was the name of that one?
That's Noble Instinct.
Noble Instincts. Instincts.
If you want to get him on the radio, I can hook you up with his name. He would love to talk to you about his projects. I didn't do it justice.
No, I think it's great. You are going to be a great source for information and stories for me into the 2022. Oh my God, 2022. So we have been talking with Alexis Cassidy here. Her project is, your call is very important to us. And I think that it's a great opportunity for this generation of veterans to get their stories out and their artwork out and their photography out and everything else as you build and design this. Sounds like it's this anthology, but it sounds like it's going to be a really big anthology. I'm excited for you.
Thank you so much for having me, sir. Okay. And I'll let you know when you can buy the book.
Okay. Thank you very much. I look forward to getting my copy. All right. So another Veterans Radio is in the can, as they say. We've had a really great opportunity here. We've talked with Don Milne about the stories behind the stars of World War II. We just got finished with Alexis Cassidy with her collection of stories for OEF and OIF, veterans of poems, journals, artwork, short stories, etc. And you can just send that information to Alexis. It's Alexis period or alexis.cassidy, C-A-S-I-D-A-Y at gmail.com. And make sure that you get those in there because I think this is going to be a very, very interesting and very neat, worthy book for this generation of veterans and also for any veterans read this. Because, you know, as much as our ages are different, our experiences aren't that much. They're pretty similar when we start thinking about them as we go along. I also encourage you to go to our website. That's veteransradio.net. And go to our post exchange. Here's an opportunity for you to get those last minute gifts for your veteran in your house. And if you use the code VRA25, you get 25% off of whatever you order through the end of December. So we're excited for you to do that. And also I want to make sure that I do thank our real sponsors. Because we can't do this program without them and without your individual support. So it's the end of the year, and here's the opportunity for you to donate to Veterans Radio because we are also a 501c3, and we need to obviously raise funds so we can keep the program going through next year and on into the future. So I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. Make sure you try and tune in next week when we talk about the USO. We've got Bob Hope and some other clips out there for that. We are coming up on the end of the program, and so today we're going to play our Medal of Honor segment at the end of the program instead of in the middle. So how am I doing on time, Derek?
20 seconds.
Okay, 20 seconds. So again, encouraging people to have a great holiday season, and we look forward to seeing you next year. And until then, this is Dale Thronberry for Veterans Radio, and you are this... missed.
The Medal of Honor is the highest award for valor in combat given a member of the Armed Forces of the United States. There have been over 3,400 recipients of the nation's highest award. This is one of them. Private First Class William Thomas lost both his legs to an explosive charge thrown by Japanese soldiers in the Battle of the Philippines, but refused medical treatment. Details after this.
If you have a VA claim denied by the Board of Veterans' Appeals, contact Legal Help for Veterans at 1-800-693-4800. They're experts in handling cases before the U.S. Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims. Their number again, 1-800-693-4800.
Thomas was a member of the leading squad of Company B, which was attacking along a narrow, wooded ridge. The enemy, strongly entrenched in camouflaged emplacements on the hill, directed heavy fire and hurled explosive charges on the attacking riflemen. Thomas, an automatic rifleman, was struck by one of those charges, which blew off both his legs below the knees. He refused medical aid and evacuation and continued to fire at the enemy until his weapon was put out of action by an enemy bullet. Still refusing aid, he threw his last two grenades. He destroyed three of the enemy after suffering the wounds from which he died later that day. The effective fire of Thomas prevented the repulse of his platoon and assured the capture of the hostile position.
The Medal of Honor series is a production of Veterans Radio.
Military veterans touch everyone's life. I'm guessing right now you're thinking of a veteran, a close friend, relative. Maybe it's you. Even the toughest of us sometimes need help, but don't know where to turn for support. You don't need special training to help a veteran in your life. We can all help someone going through a difficult time. Learn how you can be there for veterans. Visit VeteransCrisisLine.net. VeteransCrisisLine.net. A message from the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs.